Well, good morning and welcome to this workshop. The session we're looking at here is the first of two. We're looking at relational challenges, particularly that face women in the classroom, women as teachers. And I've had a variety of questions asked me in preparation for this. Actually, I had a number of people ask me, or somebody asking how many men are going to be in this class, and perhaps wondering if they should be in here to get a bit of the some of the challenges that women are facing. But it is geared to ladies, and just I intend also for this to be a workshop. I don't intend to be lecturing to you the whole time here. But I want to look at some of the challenges and just helping you to understand the division, a bit of the division of the subject material. I want to talk, especially in this session, want to discuss some of the relational challenges relating to male authorities. And so that can be a principal, that can be a senior teacher, can be the fathers of your students, and as well as school board. So just some of the challenges you face, and I hope in this time that it will be a time for you to work and interact. I don't come here intending to have all the answers for these things, but hopefully provide a framework for us to talk about them in ways that will be helpful for you. I remember in a recent discussion with Mr. Miller here, Gerald Miller, who just had the last session, he said that during summer term, he said probably 50 to 60% of the questions that lady teachers ask him have to do with this issue, with the issue of relating to male authorities or to men in their in the school setting. So it apparently is a pertinent subject, and just hope that you do enjoy it here. I've set this up to start, get us started, to talk about some of the issues. And so what I'm going to do is divide you up into small groups, and we're going to work at some of the questions here as a framework then for our discussion. The first question is, what relational challenges have you faced in relating to male leadership or fathers of students in the school? Second question, what principles would guide a competent lady teacher relating to a less competent male authority? And you're all in that situation. Is that correct? No, sorry. But so what principles would guide? What you'll notice here in these questions is that they don't, obviously they address different aspects of the subject. And so we'd like to get groups working on each of these, and then the rest of you be able to contribute as well. Third question, what are creative options when a lady teacher brings issues to the school board and they go unresolved? She brings them to them and it's nothing happens. She's waiting for this to transform the school, and nothing seems to take place. Fourth question, how can lady teachers be proactive in cultivating respect for male authorities? So sometimes there are relational tensions, for example, seem to kind of grow, kind of foment with the students relating to the principal. What is the role of a lady teacher in a situation like that? Or perhaps even overall, the school, maybe even the parents, toward the school board, or how things are run. How does what is the role of a lady teacher there? How can she be proactive? And a fifth question, when a lady has a take-charge personality, what functional challenges does she face relating to male authorities? Now, there you're going to need to be thinking about other people, okay, because it's not you, right? But you've probably observed, ladies. I had a lady that came to me one time and said, John, you really have to have a seminar for ladies who are strong personalities and teach them how to be ladies. And she said, I'm one of them. That was kind of neat, at least that she was up front with me about this. She was pretty forceful in what I ought to be doing here in helping her. So these are five questions, and I want to divide you into five groups. and just ask you to, each of you, to take this. Now, I made a number of assumptions, actually, in putting this together. I was actually, didn't think about this till this morning, when Howard asked how many, or something about new teachers, and maybe mentioned just that there were new teachers here. And I was assuming that most of you are going to be teachers who have been in this, and that's the reason for your interest in this workshop. However, I am going to ask, are there any new teachers here? This is your first year, okay? That's fine. Just enter in, and what you'll have to do is think about the possible kinds of questions here. So what's the best way to do this? I think I'm going to just do you by groups where you are, okay? And I'm just going to do a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay? So get in groups. It looks to me like there would be about 5 in a group, okay? So in right here, you two in the next 3, and there we've got 5. Back there, we've got, we're going to have to maybe drop to 4, okay? So the 4 over there in rows 3 and 4, and then we'll take 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, and then it'll be 5. So get in groups of 5. And if you need to just rearrange your chairs a little bit, you may do that. We'll try to get them back in order here afterwards. But I'd like for you to take the questions as they are numbered, I think. And so this will be group. You do question 1, question 2, question 3, question 4, and question 5 back there. Now, just wanting to be sure we've got 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. There we go. Okay. Everybody have a group? All right. Go ahead and discuss these questions. And I will say this, if you get done, you kind of run out of steam a little bit and others are still working and you want to work on another one, you may do that. Okay, but don't run out of steam too quickly. All right. Okay. Are we ready to pick up here and talk about these? We're going to start with the first one, and you will be also working in small groups a bit later, so you're welcome to just make yourselves comfortable here. First one is, what relational challenges have you faced relating to male leadership? And so group one here, I'd like to just hear you share with us what are some of the things, and then you'll have opportunity if you want to add to those. So who's your spokesperson here? Okay.
Maybe wanting to know something and not hearing.
Laid back, bored, just
nothing happens.
Okay. Okay, you identify with that? Some of you, okay.
The school year is about to start and you haven't heard things that you need to know.
Yes, okay. So information is not there, too, okay. Okay.
And both of us teach in a school that are mostly men.
Okay, so a lady teacher with a predominant male staff. Okay.
My opinion doesn't count. The men make the decision, and
you're supposed to go along with it. Okay. All right. Challenges.
With fathers and some fathers, whatever you say, and others.
Okay. So even from fathers, sometimes experiencing that thing of, as a lady teacher, you're not quite, you know, you just don't have quite the competence. Okay. Interestingly, I teach as a male teacher, and I've experienced that also from fathers sometimes. And I remember just saying a very simple thing to a father one time that his son needed a haircut, and he said, "Well, that's your opinion." And I guess that's true. but anyway, okay. Are there others that you would add challenges relating to male authority? Okay, yes.
An overbearing attitude where they think you should follow everything they do.
Okay. kind of a dictating, overbearing. You need to just do whatever they say, okay? And maybe micromanaging, kind of, if I'm hearing you right. Okay? Ah, okay.
Because I'm not sure how to...
Tell me what you mean by that. You have a problem with male authority, period. Just explain that.
General,
okay.
Like, I mean, any...
And you're saying for you personally?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're bringing something to the to the relationship.
That
okay.
Makes it, I'd rather kind of avoid having mm-hmm. much of a relationship.
Mm-hmm. And are you bringing fear to that? Is that... Okay.
As long as I'm just with the children, I'm fine. But just not.
In the next session, actually, one of the things that we'll talk about in relating to men, I think women need to know themselves. You just demonstrated something very very good there. You need to know what are you bringing to the relationship. So, yeah. Let's go to the next one. I think. There we go. What principles would guide a competent lady teacher relating to a less competent? Are we here? All right. Sure. Okay.
What they're interested in, and then ask a lot of questions, ask for their suggestions.
Okay. So some just very practical things there. You bring humility to it, asking questions, not just being careful to respect their input and invite their input. Okay. Good. Just point out here that this particular relational challenge is not unique to ladies. Okay. Even in Let's say a pastoral team. There can be times when you have a person who is working under another, or even within a congregation, relating to a pastor. There may be times when the person is much more competent than the person in charge. So these are challenges that are not unique to ladies. Okay, you've said enough. What else would you say? Any principles that guide us? Okay, so there's something we should not do, just taking over, just assuming their incompetence, and so kind of acting on that.
One of the things that I notice sometimes is a person just kind of barging ahead and not asking for their opinion, even if they're very confident they can do it, no problem, but the person over them needs to be asked.
Okay. So sometimes asking, even if you don't need the information or the input, is just an issue of respect, probably there. Okay. Let's go to the third question. What are creative options when the lady teacher brings issues to the school board and they go unresolved? Back here. Okay.
So I don't know that I really think to add to that. We discussed a few things as far as what you do when you bring something to the board. Even if it's just like a repair, something that needs to be repaired. I've had a few things to say that.
Okay. Right, okay.
Sometimes I would wait a month or two and maybe bring it up again at the board meeting, and you guys would decide, and I mentioned it back when I was
So I hear you say that a creative option may be just accepting things that... Okay. Actually, that is a creative option. And the creativity there has to do then with your response, has to do with the way you're looking at it, not so much at how to get something done. But you did mention something else, bringing it up, and then perhaps at a later point, bringing it back to their attention. Okay. Any other creative options here? Have you done things that have worked not only to get things done, but have worked relationally? So inviting them to the classroom, inviting them into the situation. So back to what you were saying, they're not teachers, they're not seeing it all the time. So inviting them in, maybe having a school board day. Okay, that's a creative option.
One thing that worked in my setting is we had a school board men substitute for us.
Ah, okay. Okay, so having the school board actually be your substitutes, pulling them in, gives them a little window into the schoolroom and what you face. Uh-huh. They need to be willing. And you need to be able to clean up afterwards.
Well, I think there's a domino effect. Like one of them was willing,
oh,
and then it
okay.
went around, and the next one mm-hmm. thought that he could do it, well, then he mm-hmm. could probably too. So I can't think it kind of rubbed off on each
mm-hmm. Good. And I like the creative option here is involvement, looking for ways to involve them and help them to experience the classroom. Okay, let's go to the fourth one. How can lady teachers be proactive in cultivating respect? Male authorities, where are we, right here? Okay. So initially, speaking respectfully ourselves and being proactive in that, actually saying good things, pointing out the ways in which principal or school board, things that they do for you. And let's see, what else did you say in the middle there? I missed it. I can't pull it back. Oh, letting them talk about it, I think, or helping them... Not just squelching it, okay. Okay.
But they also need to be shown that there is a better way.
Okay.
Those men do have good points, and there will be times when, like, even if we don't agree, we still mm-hmm.
So sometimes teachers will be caught, we will be caught sometimes realizing that the criticisms, the complaints or whatever may have validity to them. There may be things in there. So what do? Do you just say, well, hey, you know, do you ignore it? Do you squelch it? Do you say, oh, no, they're all good? Do you deny it? So you're saying that there may be places for hearing them, but showing them proper kinds of responses to it. Okay? And there may be other options also for being proactive there, and that is actually initiating things that are expressions of gratitude. Getting the students involved maybe even in signing a card or... Okay, let's go to the last question, and that is, a lady has a take charge personality. What functional challenges does she face? Okay, feeling threatened? Mm-hmm. Okay. Other input on this? We touched on it earlier here. Go ahead.
Do you think this ever creates a laid-back board?
Does this create a laid-back board? Okay. When ladies just go ahead and do it. Could certainly be something that one feeds the other. Any other things that you would say about functional challenge? Let's see, we had talked earlier here about still asking. Okay, so she knows what needs to be done, and so why ask? Particularly if they don't seem to demonstrate too much interest anyway. Maybe one of the things. So she will face challenges within her own reasoning. She'll also face challenge relationally. The thing of feeling threatened. What are some signs that a male authority or a male teacher, whatever, is feeling threatened? What are some signs of that? They may withdraw. Okay. Erna, were you raising your hand there? No, okay. Let's move on here. To look at a scripture that helps us to think about this matter of relating to authority figures. This scripture does not mention lady teachers, okay, but it does address a variety of authority relationships. And so let's just read through this, and I'd like for you to observe what are some things that you hear in this teaching. Peter writing here, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. I said it didn't mention lady teachers, and I did say slaves there. Sorry, I thought of that as I was reading through. So what observations? How does this help us thinking about relating to authorities? You as a lady teacher relating to male authorities. Observations?
I think that no matter if you disagree
or not, you have respect. Okay. Clearly there's this call to respect. Okay.
And submit.
Bend our wills, okay, to those who are over us. Defer to them. I listed out a number of observations here. I'll just go through these rather quickly here. Notice in this passage, when we honor human authorities, we are honoring the Lord. And it really can change our perspective. Again, this is not just related to lady teachers. All of us have authority figures over this. This is actually talking specifically about civil authorities in the opening verses here that we looked at. And what it's saying is, sometimes I try to think about it like this. Well, would I do this for Jesus? Okay, so you think of it in terms of honoring the Lord. When we honor, because all authority comes back to God is. God is the one who has authority. He delegates it. And so ultimately, we're not just submitting to these authorities on earth. We're submitting to him. And we think of it that way. It can really help us sometimes in our struggles. Respectful conduct is good. You notice that in this passage, how it highlights, and it indicates that, let's see, what's the word here? It is the will of God that by doing good, you would put to silence. Okay, and in the context, that doing good is actually saying by obeying the authorities over us, by honoring them, respecting them, respectful conduct is good. God commends it. He likes when we are respectful. Another observation is that the respectful conduct of the Lord's followers speak good things for the Lord. When you honor the authorities that are over you, people who observe that respect, who observe that honor, are going to commend the Lord that you serve. And the opposite is true as well. And that includes your students. They will actually in their hearts commend you for your attitudes, your good attitudes, your good conduct toward those who are over you. And they'll pick it up also if it's not there. And they end up disrespecting God because of wrong conduct, disrespectful conduct on our part. Fourth, those who live to the Lord can be free and at peace even when working under miserable constraints. Wow, you like that? Okay. But notice what he says here. He tells us to honor all people, show proper respect to everyone. King James is what? Honor all men, I think it is. Everybody. And so there is a respect that we are to give to everybody, and particularly then in the context here to those who are over us, to those who are in these positions. The reality is, folks, difficult people are part of this life, and sometimes they're in authority. And they're not always, sometimes even when they're right, maybe especially when they're right, they're difficult. Okay? And there's something within us that tends to react to maybe the manner in which it is, their rightness is lived out or whatever. But really, the passage here indicates that it's not just those who are nice to get along with. That doesn't test our respect. So what does that tell us about respect? Respect resides in us, really, more than in the person. We tend to think they have to earn it. Okay, I can respect a person who is respectable. But when they're not respectable, I'm not obligated. We can tend to think that way. Their disrespectful behavior justifies the disrespect in my heart. And Peter calls us to say, you be respectful people no matter who is over you. High challenge. And another observation, you know, the more difficult the human authority, the more powerful the testimony of respectful conduct. So I just would say this. I have observed people who have honored, who have given respectful answers to those who seem to be trying to make it difficult for them. And who do I respect? Who do you respect when you observe that? You respect the person who is able to be respectful even when can be an authority figure, is acting obnoxious, really using their authority or whatever. So it's just some good directives for us from Peter's writings. So let's go to some more work here, okay? Again, we're going to take you numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Take the same number, and here are things for you to work on. So what do I do when equipment is poor, it's breaking down, there no one seems to be paying attention, or when a school policy isn't working but no change is made? Okay, so what do I do? In light of what Peter tells us, all right, this is group number 1. You're taking that one. Number 2, when I've told them clearly what needs to happen, but they don't do anything. Okay, in some ways maybe similar questions here, but you work on that. Number 3, when a male authority ignores my input or belittles it or runs over me. Back here. That's yours. All right. When little things slip through the cracks. Okay. The things that you're struggling with aren't big things, but they're little things. Okay. And they just kind of slip through the cracks here. And number 5, when I'm so upset about poor administration that I can't sleep, I find it affecting my teaching. So how do we respond? Okay. You all are going to be waiting for that one, right? Go ahead and do some work here. Again, on some of these, probably there will be some overlap, but we're going to do it again. We're going to go around the circle. Just hear what you have to say, working on yours, and then open it up if you've got input. So number 1, when equipment is poor or it's breaking down and no one seems to be paying attention, when a school policy isn't working, no change happens. So what do we do? Who's doing our... Wanda, here? Okay, use it when the school board is there. Okay, try to use it, all right.
Or present the problem to them and ask them for a solution. Like, this is what I'm facing.
Okay. So you're saying something fairly important there. You don't necessarily tell them what the solution is as much as tell them what the problem is and ask them what would be a good solution here. Okay, good. Okay.
And when do I accept it?
Okay.
Not being fixed or as a policy that's just going to keep on even if it feels like it should
mm-hmm.
be.
Let me ask you this, as teachers, which would you face most here, policy issues or equipment issues? Any comment? What?
At our school, I had
equipment issues, and you're saying policy issues. Equipment? Okay. We could take a vote here, I guess. Probably depends. It could depend on what time of the year it is, maybe, too.
I think it's more of a policy issue, too, if you're teaching in a different setting from what you're used to.
Ah, like okay.
When it's not your home church. And
so if you go to a different setting,
yeah,
you're
so
teaching
they
in
have
different
ideas mm-hmm. that you don't quite.
I'm curious, how many of you have switched schools in your teaching? Ah, okay. Any challenges in switching schools? Okay. Now, would any of you be open to telling me what kinds of policy issues have tended just to not work, but they just keep staying in there? They don't get changed. Or you struggle with policies.
One thing at our school is policies in the handbook, but not followed through.
Ah, okay. So there are policies that are in the handbook, but they're not, and who's responsible for it being carried out?
It's usually the administrator.
The administrator, but it just doesn't seem to be followed.
Like if the administrator appoints us, then we're given the authority, but until we have that.
Okay. All right. So that's a struggle for a teacher to know how to handle that when it's there, but it just seems to be ignored and maybe expected to be ignored. People just...
Mm-hmm.
Because it happens, and it's, so it's changed by default. Okay. Other policy issues? What kinds of things do you face? Yes. Ah, okay. So procedural things, okay. And some of those can seem rather small, insignificant, and yet, okay. And are you saying that the policies, what you struggle with is that the policies are wrong or that the policies aren't enforced? Enforced consistently?
Different ways can work, it's just you have to work together.
Okay.
I mean, it's best if you all try to do this.
And so you find it sometimes that one classroom follows the policy and another one is fudges on it. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so there you're not so much dealing with maybe with the male authority as you are with the fellow teacher. Were you waving at me? No? Okay. All right, next one here. I've told them clearly what needs to happen. They don't do anything. Similar question. Okay.
Then just don't make any loaded comments. Like if they don't do it and maybe we bring it up again, just let it go. And another thing is don't carry a load that's not mine. If they don't do it and it's not in my place and I've done what I can, just let it go.
Okay.
And don't keep dragging it around, messing up.
So accepting things. Okay, which means that sometimes we live with inconvenience. Okay, and then on the other side, saying things that you should not do, not making loaded comments, not carrying it as though it's your responsibility. Okay, we're going to hear how to do that in a little bit here. Number three, when a male authority ignores my input or belittles it, just runs over me.
Okay. Because they didn't, they hurt me and they didn't listen to me. But
Okay. So, demonstrating respect, and not necessarily retreating into a hole. How do you avoid retreating without getting into tangles all the time? Any comment there? But I hear you talking about a particular kind of retreating, maybe, that isn't healthy. Okay. Sometimes it may be necessary to back away from something rather than just keep, but not in a way that is just retreating in a self-pity or...
Right, that's kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sort of like making vows. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Next one. Over here, when little things slip through the cracks, we're kind of on a similar theme here. Any additional things here that you'd say? Okay.
In my classroom, there was small things that I just took to fix myself. It was easier and faster to get my male coaching
experience. Okay. So the small things, you may look for other options if they're not getting done. And this would be in ways that don't necessarily bypass. You've given the board the opportunity to respond to these things or whoever is responsible for that, but they're not getting done. Any comment about should a teacher ask, is it okay for if I get this person to do it? Or does that... What if he comes 2 months later and says, where's that door that needs to be fixed? Then you say, oh, I got John to do that. Is that okay? Yes.
Often, if it was a little thing like a desk needs adjustment.
Yes.
I would just go straight to the teacher.
Okay.
Maybe I was wrong. I think I should have done
that. And I would assume that in small things like that, where you might run into difficulties if it involves expenditures or things like that and you bypass. But, okay. Good. Let's go to the next one here. When I'm so upset about poor administration, I can't sleep. It's affecting my teaching. What do we do?
We talk about all the things you need to pray about.
Pray. Good. Okay.
And she said that we should remember that God put them there for
us. All right. Mm-hmm. Good. Any input additional here?
One thing that I found when I was dealing with that was refocusing that I am here to teach these students and refocus on my goal for those students
okay.
rather than on my conflict with the principal, which I was, that was causing issues. But refocusing on my classroom and, yes, I had to deal with
okay. And so you notice that a significant thing she's saying here is this is a frustration with somebody else not doing their job. What's she doing? She's coming back and saying, I'm going to do my job well. Okay. The reality is that we can't control other people. Okay. But we can focus on the thing that we are able to control. Ruthanna?
And so, obviously, lack of sleep is going to affect the contact of the classroom as well.
Okay. So if there are things that are building up somewhere, you need to be able to find healthy, I hear you say, healthy talking about it, ways that enable you to process this well, people that will help you to give perspective. Okay, so you don't want to just vent, is what you're saying. Okay, what else might you avoid?
Talking to too many people.
Okay, or talking to people that it might actually hinder their relationships with this person or So you'd want to be sure that that talking is talking that will actually be constructive and helpful in the situation. I'm going to move to just a few pointers here now, and some of these you've already said. So just like to look at particularly, I'm thinking here of lady teachers relating to male authorities, okay? First pointer is don't assume that the men over you know what you want. Women are perhaps arguably more intuitive than men are. And I find this in my relationship with my wife that sometimes to her it is so clear what needs to be done that she is upset that I haven't done it, and I haven't even known that it needed to be done. Do you understand what is happening there? And the assumption is that because it's so obvious, I mean, he walked right through that doorway. He even shook hands with that thing that doesn't work right when he went. But he doesn't do anything about it, okay? Assuming that. So be careful about that, just assuming that that they should know. Be sure that to articulate, let them know the kinds of things. Sometimes it's actually helpful to see it in written form. Okay? Saying something to a man does not guarantee that he will remember it. And saying something to a student doesn't guarantee, okay? So writing it down sometimes... A list of some of the things that may need to be done. I hear you talking about equipment needs, things that need repair, that sort of thing. Making a list can be helpful to bring clarity. Don't assume that they know what you want. Be clear and honest at least once. Now, I'm not certain if this is correct, but I say not more than twice, okay? And I hear you actually working at that, not wanting to be nagging, okay? So it was mentioned here that bring up perhaps late a month later or a couple months later, you mentioned it again. But be careful about just coming again and again. It likely will, sometimes it'll get things done at the expense of relationship, okay? And you start weighing, is it worth it to get it done in that way? And so I say... then chew your gum hard and trust God, okay? But we sometimes think we have to keep saying it because it's keeping on not getting done. And I hear you actually wrestling with this well. You basically said this. You say it clearly, but don't... so there comes a point where you accept that, well, it's not getting... So how do I live with it the way it is? Another pointer, express appreciation for what they do. And you probably know this already, but I'm just going to go over it for you. It does seem to be, there does seem to be differences between men and women in the things that tend to motivate us in how we function. Okay? Men, the manhood of men is brought out by admiration. That's a reality. Now, that's a human characteristic. It's not just a male characteristic, but it is especially important, it seems like, in men. Men move away from where they are criticized. I work with troubled marriages more than I work with troubled lady teachers, okay? But I find that in troubled marriages, if a man is criticized at home, he will move toward work. He will move toward the place where he is affirmed. And so that's why in the marriage relationship, a lady needs to learn how to affirm her husband. So he moves toward her. He likes to be with her because she affirms him. And so one of the things that you want to think about in relating to men is notice the things that they do and express appreciation for that. It actually frees them, it frees their manhood to be used in good ways toward you. So if there are things that need to be repaired, let them know how much you appreciate what they did with that door handle. It's motivating to them. They will look for more things. If you say things like, you did that so fast, how did you do that? They're going to want to find another thing that they can do very fast, okay? Yes?
The balance that men and women are usually married, you know,
it certainly can be overdone, but there are appropriate ways to express appreciation for what those men who are, it's fellow male teachers, principals, school board, or whatever, there are ways to appropriately express appreciation. One of the things that can be very helpful is to do it in the presence of others. Okay, so if you do it just as a one-on-one, there may be times in which you could become uncomfortable, or they could, depending how much you're saying there. But at a board meeting, just to say, you know, I really appreciated that Steve was over here the other day, and he spent a couple hours there. That was so helpful. Steve is going to, that's going to bring his desire to bless the school in more ways. You hear what I'm saying? So in the presence of others, it can help to keep the appropriateness there. I noted, actually, in preparation for these workshops, I gave a series of questions to a number of lady teachers. And one of them responded here and just said, this is one of the things that she said, be proactive in affirming your principal. Sometimes we as women don't view this as necessary or even think about doing it, especially if you're a young teacher. Words of appreciation build positive staff relationships. Gratefulness is a deterrent to critical attitudes. That was her input, and as an experienced teacher. Number four, if you want something done, ask a specific man if he'd be able to do it. Okay? Or to see that it gets done. There's something about, is this something that you would be able to do? Or that men hate to admit they can't do anything. Okay? Now, you might hear me suggesting a little bit of manipulation, but I'm saying that men respond to this issue of getting things done. Their accomplishment, their ability to do things is very strong in them. So ask them if they'd be able to. That feels totally different to a man than saying, this needs to be done. I've been waiting for this. And you hear the criticizing tone, and they may be afraid to do it because it won't be good enough. Okay, men hate failure. They hate being shown as incompetent. And so when you appeal to that competence, are you able to do this? Just helps. And I actually heard you working with this one really well. Overlook minor inconveniences to stay focused on major objectives. Sometimes you accept some things because there are things that actually are getting done. They are provide. They're regular with their having the curriculum ready at the beginning of the year. They provide the kind of curricula that you need, that is helpful for you. And if the doorknob is falling off, that's pretty small in relation to some of the big things. So don't let a few small things get in the way of appreciation for the big things that they are doing. And what was already mentioned here, focus on doing your job well. We have little control over the responsibilities of others. We can sometimes point out things that need to be done. But if they don't get done, focus on your job. And sometimes that just means coming back and say, well, you know, no matter how rotten a principal I have, I'm going to be a bang-up teacher, okay? Now, be careful that you're not doing it to show him up, all right? But you refocus. And you'll see that many times in the scriptures, that is the direction. You see Peter doing that a bit later, talking to wives, and he's saying, wives, your husbands are not believers even. You focus on being the kind of wife God wants you to be. That's where your focus needs to be, rather than trying to get them. And then work on attitude. Significant issue in this matter of how we're relating, particularly to difficulties, to challenges in relationship. Our attitude is so significant in that. And I have a quote here by Charles Swindoll. You'll see it there. The longer I live, he says, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. We could insert a school. The remarkable thing is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. We can argue about the percentages there if we want, but the reality is that our responses are significant, and that does come down to attitude. It is the reality is we can have a free heart even when somebody else is not doing their job well, and that's what it means to focus on good attitude. Well, our time is up. Thank you for your work, and blessings to you as you apply these things. I did have a couple of questions I want to ask you that you won't be able to work on. I mean, you may between now and the next session here. My question to you is this. You need to know yourself. What is your number one hindrance in relating to male authorities? What's your biggest difficulty? You personally, okay? I'm not asking you to answer out loud here, okay? But think about it for you, okay? What is your number one struggle in relating, and what triggers it? Okay, know the things that trigger it. Then ask yourself, what kind of attitude do I want to have here? Answer those questions. Write them out. Be specific, and think about how attitude may change your perspective. All right, would ask you to put your chairs back. Just be sure that they're back and straightened, and then you're excused.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.